The subject gradations of the mind. Before we come to that, just to give a little backdrop. Have you ever wondered how we speak of divine as all-knowing, all-powerful? That's how we say, no, all-blissful. But this matter which we see, of which everything seems to be made, is almost its very opposite. Though within it there is a hidden intelligence that we can see, even atoms moving, there is a hidden intelligence. But in its actual, if we analyze on the surface, it's not all-powerful, far from it. It acts within a certain range. It is not all-knowing, it acts within a certain range of, it has its, every object has its own knowledge which is inbuilt within, programmed within. But nothing beyond it. So this is a thing which many metaphysical thinkers, mystics have tried to explain. But most of the time they have tried to explain it away. This is a material world, nothing to do with God, spiritual life. If you want God or spiritual life, you have to leave this. As simple as that. How it is made, why it is made, there is no why really, but it is nature. So nature is a broad spectrum. You know, anything you can put, dump it on nature. What is nature? It doesn't concern you, come out of it, from the spiritual perspective. All that you need to know is what elements in nature can help you to get out of this whole drama. Now, Shrivindu, for the first time, he explains it. It's actually hinted in the Puranas and the Vedas particularly, but it's not been brought to the full light because people didn't realize its great significance. So, first of all, the divine consciousness has become matter. It's not like something other than, which is logical, because otherwise we have to assume two origins. One divine who is original, and this has its own origin. So that takes away from the, you know, we all want a single final understanding. In the last analysis, origin can't be two or more than that. So it has to be one origin. So divine consciousness has become matter. And how he has become matter, we can understand by those, you know, nowadays you have lights where you can gradually dim it. So the same supreme light, supreme consciousness, gradually diminishes itself till it completely sort of vanishes. So now when it vanishes, it means still all the light potential is there. You just need to switch on. You just need to again, once again, increase the dimmer. So it vanishes into a state which is almost as if there is nothing. There is no light, there is no consciousness, there is no power, no bliss, nothing. Matter is like that, almost insensible. There is no question of bliss. Now slowly, between this and the divine consciousness, as it dims, there are steps and stages which become like a ladder. And when you come out, when consciousness which has gone into it, it ascends or emerges. Again, the same steps of the ladder it uses. That's why you see many of the temples, you see, located on top of a hill or a mountain. It's literally the journey of life. It's called the ascent. So, this ladder of consciousness, where is it located? It's a universal ladder. And it is... outside means material world will evolve ultimately to the highest, even this material world, because this ladder is connecting the material world to the highest divine world. I am using a term for the sake of understanding, the highest world. It is linked. How will it get connected? Is there an evidence of it? Evolution is the evidence. So just as we have individual kundalini awakening, evolution is the process of awakening of the kundalini of earth. So, as it awakens, living worlds emerge, mental worlds emerge, and finally, spiritual heights. All this earth itself is evolving. What about us? We can't conceive, you know, all this kundalini awakening of earth, all these afanta. What about us? So, the ladder is also within us, which is what is known as the kundalini. So, and the ladder is above us. So, we can... we have to climb through this ladder to discover the divine in his fullness. Or there is another route, directly go and come in contact with the divine in the heart. The difference is that if we climb through the ladder, then we have a whole panorama. We grow and develop and arrive at the fullness. And if we go in the heart, we contact the same divine, but the fullness of experience, that is missing. So evolution is all about the fullness of experience, not just somehow finding a shortcut. And that's why evolution is so difficult, so complex, and not just about finding some shortcut route to find the divine. So this is the background of this ladder. And in this ladder, there are three steps which have already we have traveled. First is matter. Matter is the base. Creation has already traveled that step. Then the living worlds. So living world, life is energy. So that energy has created variety. And within that living world itself, there is a hierarchy. And if you look at the hierarchy, it starts from the almost inert living being, creature, which is called as virion, not even virus. From there it starts. Then slightly sensible plants to more sensible trees, then animals. Then animals who can produce sounds. It's something very unique that they are getting ready for something else. See how nature prepares. So sound comes at these, actually mammals, even dolphins, they make sound. Whales make sound. So it's something very unique. That as if nature is preparing. Then sound, as human beings come, there is thought and speech. So these are new things which are emerging in the course of evolution. That's why from the deeper standpoint, all evolution is a manifestation of what is hidden inside. So we use the word evolution in biology, but from the spiritual point of view, it is the divine manifesting himself step by step, leading us step by step. So now we can zoom in onto mind. We use the word mind in a very vague way, which is okay. But if you want to understand what we are and who we are, then mind itself has certain gradations, certain ways of working. There is the ancient Indian tradition in which you have these different parts of the mind. For example, you have the manas. Manas is all the impressions that all the time are coming inside. Now we may not take notice of these impressions, but they are there. One of the examples is when my son was 5 years old and he studied naturally, 3 to 5, he was studying in one of those preschools, and then later on. So one day we were just chatting, maybe when he was 10, he was already here. That, do you remember about the school? He says, yes. What do you remember most? So he took the name of a lady, Miss. So I said, what makes you remember? She says, she used to put a rose on her jacket. That's the thing he remembered. You know, it went and impressed suddenly. So there are so many things which instinctively have gone into our, through our senses, into the manas. So what is feeding the manas is the senses. So manas becomes a place where all these go. Then they are sent up. Some of them will be sent up to buddhi to process. Buddhi is like the main processor. Manas is receiving, it is sending to buddhi. So buddhi is analyzing, deciding what to do next. Buddhi itself can be of two kinds, but that's a different subject. And many from the manas will go into chitta. There are two terms. Chit is consciousness pure, but chitta is simply the indetermined mental consciousness where all of them are going. It's like a dump yard. You throw the packet somewhere, you throw all things, you take out what is important for immediate use, and your mind is using it. So you have manas, you have buddhi, you have chitta, and you have ahankar. These are the four components of the mind by, you know, as per Indian tradition. But Sri Aurobindo speaks of a hierarchy even in the mind as it develops. So something that corresponds to the manas is the physical mind. Physical mind is a mind totally dependent on the senses. And I use the word, it's the WhatsApp mind. So it's the most primitive mind which decides what is right, what is wrong, based on the what it saw in the WhatsApp. On instant something, that if you do this, this will happen. If you do that, So it just trusts every kind of sensation that impacts it. So it's the physical mind. Animals largely depend on the physical mind, and in the physical mind there is a part which is the mechanical material mind. So what it does, it fixes habits. So if 10 times you have seen something, it is registered in a certain way. 11th time, even if there is a little alteration, you are likely to see it the same way, perceive it the same way. That's why when we use, when we put people in a category, ye toh aise hi hai. Then after, that's why it said, no, once a thief, always a thief. Even if the person is trying to do some good, because your mind is now already conditioned. So there is a material, mechanical mind. And this mind is very useful in fixing things. That's why you can fix a habit, good habit, let's say, of waking up at a certain time. You don't need an alarm clock. The mechanical mind automatically will tell you. So mechanical mind has advantages, but it also has great disadvantages, because it cannot accept novelty, or it cannot accept change. So those who are largely in the physical mind are those who abhor change. They believe in only the senses as true. And when change comes, they are very uncomfortable, because physical mind is like that. It is a fixed mind. But if physical mind was everything, then everything will be stuck there. It's like the animal. So it will remain within its own den, its own circle. Unless it's pushed by tremendous forces, or famine or something there. Now, in human beings, something else has begun to emerge, and that's a mind which is a mind of desires. Physical mind is largely a mind of sensations, and vital mind is a mind of desires, imagination, fantasies. So while we are stuck in one place, we can fantasize, think of all kinds of things. We can imagine the most impossible things. So this is the second layer of the mind, the vital mind. It's the life mind, it's the dynamic mind, because it pushes you through imagination, through fantasies, it pushes you. In that also there are several layers, like externalizing mind, dynamic mind, but we need not go into all that. But then the problem with vital mind is it's a mind which goes into flights of fantasy. It regards whatever it imagines as true. So that is also not very good. So the third layer of mind comes to clip its wings. So that's the rational mind. So rational mind picks up the things of the physical. It picks up those, it allows a certain amount of flight, and then it steadies and says, thus you can proceed. So it's the mind which is what actually buddhi is, but buddhi is something even more than that. So this is what has developed in us, though unfortunately we don't use it. Most of us unfortunately live by the physical mind. We believe that seeing is believing. It's so dangerous. That's why you have such a lovely movie, Drishyam. Drishyam 1 and Drishyam 2. I don't know whether you have seen it or not. Drishyam. In Drishyam they show, no? He convinces them simply by arranging things in a certain way, that despite investigating, despite having a hunch that, you know, this fellow is the criminal, they just can't catch him, because the mind is seeing what you are showing it. And it actually is the perfecting the art of deception. All illusion is to this. So this is one aspect of, you know, when we depend upon the senses, this rational mind finds very difficult to navigate. Most of us unfortunately still live in the physical mind. Then there are others who break free, but they break free into flights of fantasies. Haji, God hai, but it colors it with its own. What is the nature of God? We humanize. He's sitting with a carrot and rod, acting like a CEO. If you don't praise him, he is going to give you a stick. Okay, be careful. If you praise him, he is going to send you to some heaven, some paradise. So we have painted. So what is this? This is the mind of imagination. The gods, when people are at the physical mind, are gods of nature. God of rain, God of, you know, he may, all the physical things you associate with. But for the vital mind, God is a God we create by our imaginations. Then comes the rational mind. It says, no, 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 that's not acceptable. But it doesn't know what God is. So it builds up its own hypothesis, philosophy, metaphysical structures, what God may or may not be, based on observations of life, drawing its own deductions, analysis. This is so far the story. And the situation is somewhat like, imagine you are closed inside a room. You have artificial lights, of course. You have windows and doors, but you don't know how to open them. They are sort of locked. There is key, but you don't know where the key is. And you are discussing what is beyond this room. So you may have conferences, you may have all kinds of discussions based on data. Data within that huge room, let's put it like that, that room is like a universe. So based on the data within that, based on what you see, what you hear, you may analyze. You may also put in some data from the outside, like knock knock. You know, there is something more than, but you cannot really arrive at any conclusion. And its typical example is, imagine if there is a two-dimensional world. There is no third dimension. There is only, you know, length and breadth, no height. There are beings living there, all two-dimensional. Now a three-dimensional being comes, puts a hand, picks up one of them and takes away. Now what these people will find, somebody is absent. How are they going to analyze? Because they just can't figure out how this has happened. The doors were closed, the two-dimensional doors. How this has happened? So they will draw their own conclusions. Probably they'll say, no, no, this is not true. There's some counting mistake. Something happened. They cannot understand because there is another dimension from which. So the mind operates within these three dimensions of space and time. But there are other domains, other kinds of ranges of consciousness where your space-time field changes. And so your understanding, your vision changes. For example, there is the fourth dimension, not fourth dimension of time. But if you just see what fourth dimension is, it's something just unimaginable. What is here is also there. One simple example is if you take boson particle, it can superimpose on each other. You can't do it with atoms, they occupy concrete space. Bosons can superimpose on each other without taking away space, and any number. Now this is mind-boggling. So there are dimensions which are beyond these three dimensions. There is a knowledge beyond this kind of a limited knowledge of the rational mind which we don't know. So there comes the gradations of mind. So the first gradation beyond the rational mind is what is called as the higher mind. So in this room, closed room, somebody opens a window, somehow figures out, or it opens for him. So what does he see? He sees a patch of sky and patch of grass or whatever is there. And now he is having access to something which others don't have an access. So based on what he is seeing, he reveals to them, and they, based on his faith, or sometimes he even teaches them, you can come, and window is high up, you can come, take a look. So he forms a whole group who believes that there is something beyond this frontier. But imagine if there is a window on quite a different side, where somebody is seeing again a patch of sky, but a different patch of sky and a different field, he will also have his followers. So higher mind is the birthplace of religions and sects and cults. They open a door or a window, so there is some light in which you are seeing. But this light is outside and you are inside. This is the difference. That's how religion operates. Now in higher mind, things change, but there is a different kind of thought. It operates by the mechanism of thought. For example, in the rational mind, thought operates through a very laborious process of analysis and logic. because it's dependent on physical senses, all this. So it may say, for example, a rational mind may arrive at this conclusion, there is probably a sky outside. How it will arrive at that conclusion? It says something must be supporting it. Roof cannot be the end. There must be something beyond it. And based on whatever limited data, through a stretching of logic, it may arrive at some possibilities outside. And it may write a philosophy book, systems of knowledge. Rational mind can do that. But for the higher mind, thought becomes pashyanti vak. It's a seeing thought. So the mystic who has got the window open doesn't have to use the logic. He may explain using a logic, but there the logic is self-arranged. How will he describe the scene outside? He says there is the sky and there is the grass, and between the sky and the grass there are beautiful birds and there are these creatures on the ground doing. Now when he describes it, he is describing perfectly logically whatever he is seeing. But for those who are inside to comprehend, he has to use symbols. For example, he sees a swan flying. So he will explain to those who are inside. How will he explain? He will say, you know, it is of white color. Oh, okay. Inside there is white color. Somebody by his imagination of the vital mind has painted or drawn a bird. Because imaginative mind has this capacity. Thank God. So he'll say, you know, it's something like that. So, symbols, you will see in religion, use of symbols extensively. They are used by the higher mind to communicate. But people who are receiving these symbols get stuck with the symbols. They think it is only this much. So when they understand Ganesha, they have to think only in a fixed way. And poor Sri Krishna has to always stand crooked leg. I just don't understand. It's not fair on him, no? Always standing like this. Arey, thoda make him dance. He's a dancer. Make him. But her mind may fix. Nahin, Guruji ne bataya aisa hai. Well, he cannot communicate things which he has seen beyond a point. Also, he is seeing one patch. He is seeing Krishna. So he says Krishna is God. When he looks at the patch of sky. Other is seeing Shiva. He says, no, no, Shiva is the God. And based on that, they have conflict, ladai, all that. But beyond this higher mind, there is another level of mind. It is when you open the door, you find the key and walk outside. So what is the difference? Higher mind, you are still in this brain box, but you are able to little bit, you have access to light. You are looking at things in a light, but that light is, but in the next layer, illumined mind, you are in that light. So your mind begins to change, it gets modified. There is a difference. When you are in that light, you can move freely. You can have a much larger access to all the field, all the things that is happening. You see that, well, swan, kingfisher, so many birds, you see a lot more. And again, there is no more the laborious thought, but the seeing becomes a lot more wider, a lot more clearer, a lot more concrete in that sense. And if somebody who has walked outside and is seeing, you tell him, you ask him, that I have heard that there are some beautiful lakes outside there. We don't see it. We have a little kuwa bawdi or a little pond inside our huge box of creation. So he'll say, yes, there are lakes. So these people who are inside may just completely disbelieve him. He is just seeing it and he is seeing many more things. So what does he do? He gives them in a language they would understand. He creates stories. But basically he is seeing with a total clarity. No amount of logical analysis can tell us. So now he is in the light, bathing in the light. And this light is beginning to enter into his being. Because he is bathing in the light. So in illumined mind, you begin to get modified. Your heart, your emotions, your will begins to get changed because you are seeing differently. When you are inside, you are seeing in one way, and when you are outside, you are seeing things very differently. So there is a change. As I said, inside you may see fight of sects. When you are outside, you see there are different ways of seeing the same reality. Then you reach another level. Now you are outside, but you see the sun there. Oh, this is where the light is coming from. First you enjoyed that light is entering you, now you want to go to the source. So you have to ascend to the sun. This also is an ascension, but this ascension is first touches of light. Then one enters the intuitive mind. So this is the first major step. You can say Mount Everest, you breeze. From there you are able to see the sun. So what really is the intuitive mind? Intuitive mind in a flash shows you the truth inside. It's like whatever be the darkness, there is lightning. In that lightning you see what is there. And you know it because you have seen it. Whatever else people may say after that, then your vision changes. You knew vaguely there is a tree there, maybe there is a ghost, maybe there is something else. There was a flash and you saw Krishna with the flute. Now you see you're a completely changed person because you have seen what somebody else has not seen. So intuition is like that. But we must understand that precisely because intuition is like a lightning, it doesn't show you the total truth. It shows you one side but completely. It doesn't show you the totality. So there are other aspects which it doesn't show, and intuitive mind is the first next level of our evolution where we must arrive at. So that's the process going on. And also we must distinguish intuition from what imitates intuition. For example, people get to know things, what is known as clairvoyance. That's not intuition. That you can sense through certain senses which are not developed in us. There are people who have those subtle senses, like animals. We use the word vaguely like intuition, but basically it's development of certain senses which automatically tells them things. Then there are things which come as suggestions from the cosmic consciousness, and people think they are intuitions, but they are not intuitions. They are mixed up. They may be right, they may be wrong. So people, I have an intuition that this is what is happening. Don't be certain. Intuition comes when one has already evolved considerably within. And this intuition operates in four basic ways. So there are four powers of intuition. You will know if these powers are there or not. And when intuition comes, there is the certitude and there is a joy that comes with that knowledge. Even in illumined mind, when there is a sudden flash of knowledge which pours in, this knowledge gives us joy. In intuition, knowledge is always accompanied with joy. And the four powers of intuition are, one is revelation. Suddenly something flashes before us. And you know the thing because it has flashed before you. It doesn't mean physically you are seeing things, not necessarily. It's in the mind. It has flashed before us. And there is no question of any doubt. For example, you have this flash that, you know, healing can take place from within. It's no more a reason thing. You know it. It's a kind of certitude. Rational mind will not be able to understand it or explain it. Then there is inspiration. So these two faculties are called as truth seeing and truth hearing. So in inspiration there is no labor. So if you have to speak about something, you have to write about something, you don't, I am going to say something, make the slides and, you know, have a projector, revise it, put it in front, and you are... Inspiration doesn't operate like that. Inspiration is a river, Saraswati, slender river, which becomes wider and wider. And when inspiration comes, automatically truth flows in speech. So you have truth vision, flash revelation, and when you have to express it, then it becomes truth inspiration. So these were the two faculties which made one a seer. So at the level of higher mind, you are a sage. But at the level of intuition, you are a sage and a thinker. And at the level of the intuitive mind, you become a seer. Because you are literally seeing things. You are receiving them by inspiration. That's how the rishis got the mantras. That's how some people who are open to intuitive mind can write great creative works, which is just amazing. Upanishads, of course, the Gita. All this is because they are receiving inspiration. Just imagine, people have written so much, thought about so much, analyzed so much, given lectures on the Gita. But look at Sri Krishna standing on the battle with dar 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 dar. What a lovely, marvelous, and it's coming like this. It's a rhythm. There is a meter in it. Shorbindo, Savitri, my God, 200 lines together. So intuitive mind is like that. It completely receives the inspiration and its action is very evident. Then there is something called as truth touch. So inspiration and revelation is still seeing and hearing. Touch is a more intimate thing. It's seizing. You touch and you hold. You know the thing, not just because you have seen it and heard about it. I'm talking of hearing in the higher sense. But because you have felt it, touched it, clasped it, grasped it. God is no more just a distant something for you. So that's truth touch. And the fourth is truth action. So the right will, which tells you what is to be done. You don't have those formats, right, wrong, good, bad, all this is gone. You know what should be done and you do it. So these are faculties which we know were active in rishis, which human beings, when they read the stories, find it so difficult to understand. But look at how Sri Krishna asked Arjun to fight against his own people. Though he gives a logic, but he was seeing all that. And so there is truth revelation, truth seeing, inspiration or truth vision, truth hearing, and then seizing, truth touch, and truth action, the right impulse to action. They are given fantastic name, as goddesses says in, if you read the Vedas, they are called Ila, Mahi, Saraswati, Bharati. So they are all goddesses who are inspiring you, giving you these powers. Is this the end? This sounds too great, but no. Beyond it, now you have reached Mount Everest. So intuition is like you are going on one side and you are having these. Now on the Mount Everest, what is happening? When you look in one direction or any mountain top, you are looking at, imagine a high-rise building rooftop. In one direction, you can see so much of it. You know, olden times, Raja, kya bolte the? Whatever you are seeing, jo jameen dekh rahe ho na, ye sab hamari hai, ab dekh rahe ho matlab whose direction. So, that is the overmind where you take up one idea of God or the divine or the supreme reality. With that idea, with the help of that, you are seeing the whole world. You are creating a whole world. So you can see the whole world as Shivamay. But you can also see the whole world as Krishnamay. You can see the whole world as Lord Vishnu's world. You can see the whole world expressing justice. You can see the whole world as expressing love. You can see the whole world as a manifestation of beauty. All of them are so many gods. But in our mind, these gods have different domains. So now, our mind is the place where the one divine consciousness is getting differentiated into different. Each god is given a domain. Shiva, Kailash. Brahma, Brahmalok. Vishnu Bhagwan, Kshir Sagar. Krishna, everywhere, though he is in Vrindavan, Golok. But at the same time, these gods are aware that they are coming from the one origin. So our mind will have at least two layers. One where it is looking at the whole world based on one Godhead. But equally in the our mind, there is another layer which it discovered the unity of all the Godheads. That the highest human consciousness can reach. And its typical example is Sri Ramakrishna Paramahansa, who arrived at a synthesis of all these different paths, tantra, vedanta, that they are all leading to that one reality, overmind. It's an overmind realization, but the highest that human consciousness could strive. So you see, we start from physical mind and reach there. And beyond it, the origin, where unity and multiplicity both are there, and the secret of each element. Now, overmind is looking at everything from one angle. For instance, if you make love as one principle, you unify the whole world on the basis of love. You make ahimsa as a principle, you understand and unify the whole world through ahimsa. Each of them is a godhead. But in the supermind, all of them are together, harmoniously reconciled, and therefore, in each person, you understand their own unique law. That's why only supermind can bring the reign of truth, otherwise you'll have religions. So religions, what do they say? Everybody should do the same thing. But everybody cannot do the same thing. It's not meant to do the same thing. Everybody evolves along different lines. So even our mind has a tendency ultimately to create a sect or a cult based on one single truth. Sri Ramakrishna united them. All these sects ultimately lead to one truth. Now Sri Aurobindo brings the supermind. Supermind is the mind of the creator. So overmind is where all these aspects of the creator, like the sun, is going into creation like the many rays. But the sun itself, the core of the sun, what is the mystery held inside it? That is the supermind. So if you have to understand creation, you have to understand not only creation in a very general sense, but each one of us, what is our journey, where did it begin, where will it be fulfilled? One has to go to the supermind. So if you have to change creation into the original idea, it has to be through the supermind. And just one small thing, then we can. For instance, if you have to change creation on the basis of overmind, what it will do? He'll say everybody should love each other. Wonderful. You have a snake. You don't know what is the law of the snake. You have, a terrorist. How do you deal with a terrorist? So he'll say, no, you intensify your love, increase the love. It cannot understand that there are other godheads also. But in the supermind, love, strength, wisdom, justice, kindness are all fused together harmoniously. And you know the law of each one. You know this is what is required here, at this point of time, for this person, for that person. So that's the supermind for which our Vedic rishis in the Sanatana Dharma are striving for. They use the word satyam, ritam, rahatam. So satyam is truth. Ritam is the right law for everything. There are no standard formulas for truth. See, it frees you from all those stock formula everybody should do. No. What may be all right for you may not be all right for somebody else. So you have to discover the right law of truth. And it is vrihatam, it is vast. So it is all comprehensive. It has the secret of everyone. The supermind has my secret, your secret, everybody's secret. So the moment it begins to act upon us, what does it do? It automatically pulls us out of all the entanglements of one-sided understanding of life and releases us into that line through which we have to evolve. This is what people see in the ashram. If you see, Pradeep bhai, so many different kinds of personalities evolving into very different types of, you can't even call them saints, sages, seers. And each in his own right, as if perfectly this is what he must be. So this is why now the supermind is operating, and that's why you'll see an upsetting initially, because all of us were going in one way or another, thinking that's the ultimate. It is pulling us out from that state of ignorance, putting us on the right track, original track. By right track, not a moral right or wrong, but the original track of truth. This is the whole journey in very, very brief. Rest has to be not just read, but to be experienced. If we can experience the intuitive mind, if we can open to the faculties of revelation, inspiration, or if not that, even buddhi, which is higher mind, higher intelligence, begins to operate, then that would be a great gain for us and humanity.
Where are we now?
Most of us, as I said, physical mind. And little bit vital mind. And rational mind, I know it all. Actually, it's not even reason. People don't even exercise reason and they think they are very rational. So it's, I'm talking of the majority, masses. But there are people who are striving, all of us here, we can't say. And if you are striving, you will be get an answer. You are striving because somebody is calling you from outside the door. Let me put it like that. Let me now make it more practical. Arey baap re baap, ye sab kaun karega? Yahan pahunch gaye ho na? Kisne bulaya hai? Wohi darwaja kholega. If you try opening the window, we have the key, but we don't know how to find it, where to find it. He will open it, but keep on. And then one day you'll see a little window opening, a little door opening. Hesitatingly you'll walk out, walk in. ये तो comfortable है, इसको तो हम जानते हैं, ये तो disorienting है. ये क्या बता रहे, पता नहीं, शोरबिंदु आश्रम में ये नहीं नहीं हमारा अच्छा है. छोटा मोटा philosophy, कर्म करो, फल की चिंता मत करो, अच्छा करेगा तो तू स्वर्ग जाएगा, नहीं तो. ये सब बहुत सिंपल है ना समझना, लेकिन वो तो disorienting होता है. लाइट में तो यू बिगिन टू वंडर, अरे मैं सोचता था, मैं तो बहुत सब सोचते हैं, बहुत पुण्य आत्मा था, ये क्या देख रहा हूं मैं. यही हुआ था ना, अर्जुन गॉट टोटली डिसोरिएंटेड व्हेन ही हैड द विजन ऑफ ट्रूथ. दैट्स व्हाई ये स्टेप्स बने हैं. सडनली इफ ट्रूथ मैनिफेस्ट, इट बी वेरी डिसोरिएंटिंग. सो वी हैव अ टेंडेंसी, डोर खुल गया, हेजिटेट करते हैं. अरे शोभिंद तो बहुत ज्यादा बता रहे हैं, बहुत कुछ बता रहे हैं. अरे भैया अपना अच्छा है, ये वाली पूजा करो, 16 सोमवार करो, सत्यनारायण जी की कथा करो, काफी है. लेकिन दरवाजा तो खुल चुका है, अभी केवल अपना नहीं, सृष्टि का खुल चुका है. तो ये प्रोसेस शुरू हो गई, दैट लाइट इज इन्वेडिंग थ्रू डोर्स एंड विंडोज इन द ह्यूमन माइंड एंड इट इज पुशिंग अस. दैट्स व्हाई वी आर समटाइम्स गोइंग थ्रू ऑल दीज प्रॉब्लम्स, डिफिकल्टीज, लैक ऑफ कॉम्प्रिहेंशन, कन्फ्यूजन. They overlap, except that in higher mind still there is thought. There is a seeing thought, but in illumined mind it's actually light. So there is a difference. It's a luminous thought, and in light itself, which then takes the form of thought. Ultimately, even over mind you'll express in thought. There is no thought structure to manifest supermind.
Reveal something more.
Yeah, so basically it's a mind which you can say has a lot more potency because you are actually bathing in that light. So it is a mind where thought gains great potency. It begins to almost enter into intuition. So you can even begin to receive some kind of inspiration there. In higher mind, you don't receive inspirations. So,
you get a guidance.
So it's more like a flowing towards it.
Like I was explaining, you get some sort of a guidance or instruction. What is that?
Then? So then if we are, now how to, before that, how to really arrive at this, what can we do from our side? Apart from surrendering and aspiration, we have to learn to be quiet. So when we are quiet, not restless, then these intimations can come from three sources. One is from above, through the intuitive mind. This is one. Where you know this is how it should be and you do it, then there is certitude. There is no questioning. There is an unquestioning obedience because you know that's how it should be. But they can also come from the subliminal. They are still coming from above, but through the subliminal. They get modified inside through the cosmic mind. And that's what it is said. The universe speaks to us. So basically, it's a new age language, which means... So it comes through the subliminal. There are other aspects of the mind. Outer mind, surface mind is stuck to the senses. But inner mind is more open. It suddenly has access to data to which the outer mind doesn't have an access. But that's not the hierarchy, but a horizontal way of looking at it. So it may come from there, these intimations. And usually it is one of these two. And third door, which if one has an access, probably what you are referring to, comes from there, is if the psyche is open. That's the key. That key will open door, window, everything. But that key is, we don't turn toward that key. If that key, that's why mother says, you have the key, you have been given the key, you have been told how to get it, but you don't get it. Why? Because that requires devotion, faith, surrender. Oh, surrender? No, no. So we try to go from the mind. So you have this process. But if you have the psychic, then guidance comes, intuition comes directly. You can, you see, there is a very nice canto in Savitri, Heavens of the Ideal. Okay, so there you will see, book 2, canto 12. So there you will see that Shivinda describes, one is the kind who go through tapasya, through the mind. The other is who go through the heart, all discloses the divine beloved. And they ultimately arrive at the same place, same kingdom. Sri Krishna also refers to it by speaking of that, you know, some want to make it all by themselves, the other who are surrendered to me, Pantha Duratya, and the other where God walks with you. So that's most of the time these intimations for those who are surrendered, who have love for the divine, it comes from the heart. For them, there is the key with them and the doors open. That's why Shobindu said, first find this key. Glad you touched that, because where is the key? If we don't have this key, then practice cement, tremendous concentration.
With tapasya.
Tapasya.
Lot of effort.
Lot of effort. Psychic also requires effort, but of a different kind. It's a much more fluid effort. So this is the difference.
Psychic. You've touched on the psychic.
Yeah. So that path is to find the key. So the key is within us, for the entire creation actually. To the creator and the creation. If we have that key, we can, like Narad, roam around anywhere. But that path is the nearest also, because that's in the depth of the heart. So what is the thing in the heart? You have on the surface emotions, feelings. So you go through the feelings inside you. You don't take that course of thought. Not that it's either or, but you take that course through the feeling. You feel that there is something like the divine presence. And unfortunately, we have lost that capacity. You see, this capacity was there in earlier layer of humanity because of the mind. If you tell today person, you have to go by the feeling, so still the mind is thinking, feeling? Kya hota hai feeling? Emotions to pata hai. But emotions is when it takes a extreme form, takes a thought form. But there is a feeling, you get a feel. And if you catch that feeling, and with that feeling approach, go inside the heart to the divine with a prayer, with surrender, with faith, with bhakti, with devotion. And you will see the change. You may start with, I want to find the divine. As you get closer, you may say, I want to give myself to the divine. So the whole thing changes. I want to serve the divine. You automatically begin to feel that there is nothing greater than love of the divine. So this is the course. And when you discover it, then yes, you are finished. I mean.
So you have to follow an unerring path. So you seek guidance.
Yeah, yeah. That's, psychic has that.
So seeking means then certain human effort is involved. Actually.
Yes. So what does seeking do? Seeking, to find the psychic? Yeah. Seeking has to be there. Seeking is like, at least there is a journey. Finding the psychic is, it's also a journey. But this journey is far more simpler and easier, because it is finding the divine within you, which is the easiest accessible to us. But all other journey and seeking, for instance, if you have to seek the mind, super mind through the mind, it's a mind-boggling journey.
See, have the gestures he makes, that one, then this one.
Huh. So
very clear.
Very clear. And also you see, mother says that if you want to have a glimpse of the supermind. She says that people say, oh, supermind, how can we understand? She says, you can have a glimpse only through the psychic window. You can have a glimpse of the supermind. Because it's got a direct access. Khol dega, samne. But if you go through the mind, through all this concentration and all that process, that's a different kind of concentration. Here it's more of a feeling, seeking your beloved, your, you know, lost home. You can call it whatever. Yeah.
I think the reason to that is that psychic doesn't have the ego. And in order to reach the supermind, you have to have the ego.
Yes, and mind, the problem is ego starts crystallizing with the mind. So there are ranges of the mind where the ego doesn't leave you. And in fact, it may take a new mode, the spiritual ego. So Guru Nanak ji ka ek bada interesting, Kabir Das ji ka hai, pad hai, maya badi thagani. तो वो कहते हैं कि ब्रह्मा विष्णु महेश के बगल में भी बैठी हुई हैं। तो बेसिकली ही इज मीनिंग देयर बाय दैट इट गिव्स यू वन पर्टिकुलर ओरिएंटेशन. सी समटाइम्स इवन द गॉड्स आर क्वारलिंग विद ईच अदर. सो स्पिरिचुअल ईगो, आई मीन गुरु जी स्वामी जी जो बहुत ज्यादा माइंड के उससे जाते हैं. बट दिस इज द वन विच ऑटोमेटिकली बिकम्स अम्बिल बिकॉज इट नोज. हाँ, बस पिघल जाता है, बस भगवान में पिघल जाता है. भगवान अपना लेते हैं. सो बोथ दीज रूट्स आर देयर. एंड दो वी आर टॉकिंग ऑफ द ग्रेडेशंस ऑफ माइंड, बट टू गो थ्रू द साइकिक. बट द प्रॉब्लम देयर इज अनदर. सी माइंड इज समथिंग वी अंडरस्टैंड. अच्छा, ये करना है, वो करना है, टू डू लिस्ट. बट प्रॉब्लम इज भक्ति इज समथिंग विच you are either blessed with or not. You like, kai baar log kehte mujhe ideal partner nahi milta, kaise khojun. I said there is no formula for that. But something like, it's like falling in love. You fall in love, you are in love or you are not in love. If you are trying to think and analyze, then it doesn't operate like that. So psychic is like that. It's got that. You know, people are blessed with bhakti, and if you have the blessing of bhakti and faith, means that's the greatest gift Creator has given you. Guard it. Don't lose it. In fact, if we go through the synthesis then and read through Madan Shobindo's writings, bhakti comes as the crown towards almost a long evolutionary journey one has to cross to have bhakti. Wo aa gaya to balle balle. कुछ नहीं
चाहिए.
यूज द वर्ड क्राउन. इफ दैट इज देयर इज बट दैट्स व्हाई पीपल हु आर ब्लेस्ड दे आर ब्लेस्ड. बट वी कैन ऑल्सो देयर इज अ प्रोसेस. भक्ति को जगाना है तो कैसे करेंगे. तो ऑल दिस सत्संग. सो देयर आर फोर वेज. श्रवण, मनन, दर्शन, निधिध्यासन. दीज आर द फोर थिंग्स. Read about the divine. After some time, you'll fall in love with him. Shravana. Manana. Think about the divine. After some time, you will begin to... He'll start attracting you like a magnet attracts the iron. And darshana. See, kabhi to aao, padharo, Pondicherry. Photograph, which are holding the image, of course... We start with darshan of a picture, or the mind creates a picture. But we are so fortunate, we have directly the photographs of Sri Aurobindo and the mother. Or you have to do the inner darshan. That's not easy, but any which way, darshana. And nididhyasana, contemplating. So if you do that, and for that, satsang is a very good help.
What you're doing
be
now.
In the yeah, be in the company of God lovers. Woh aag apne aap lag jayegi. That's the problem with seminars and conferences, which I don't like. I miss that. Ye kya bole ja rahe?
That's not satsang.
That's all theory. But divine is a living presence, you know. Be in the company of God lovers. So these are the ways through which the seed of bhakti Seed of bhakti is there in everybody, but it sprouts, and when it sprouts, then nothing is required. So that's the shortcut path. करेक्ट. सबसे कठिन बंदा यही है. सरेंडर. जिसको सीख कर रहे हो उसको पता है कब रिवील करना है. इसीलिए ऑल द स्क्रिप्चर्स से दिस सीकिंग विद हर्ट देर इज अ प्रॉब्लम. Problem in seeking with hurt is that we are imposing our will. Now the divine knows that we are not ready at this point, or for whatever reason we may be ready for a limited revelation. He wants to pyaas badhana chahta hai taki milan ka joy bhi utna ho. Whatever, he may have 100 reasons. But if we insist with hurt, sometimes there are forces which will appear as if you are in contact with the divine. But actually they are misleading. So there are people who have got caught in that kind of a quagmire. So a long process of purification is required. Stilling, quietness is required. And everything divine does. It's not like we have to do something. But wherever there is hurt coming, there the vital is asserting itself. Saralta, samarpan, pura jivan. Because see, if you look at it, ye kaam unka hai. कब दिखाएंगे नहीं दिखाएंगे उनकी समस्या है. वी हैव टू डू अवर पार्ट टू लव हिम विद ऑल अवर हार्ट एंड लीव इट टू हिम. व्हेन वेयर व्हाट ही हैज हिज वेज. दैट्स द प्रोसेस. दैट्स व्हाई समर्पण ह्यूमिलिटी ऑल दिस दैट ही नोज बेटर देन अस. दैट द वे टू मेक द फिजिकल माइंड क्वाइट.
वी कैन प्रे फॉर सरेंडर.
या दैट द स्टोरी ऑफ द भक्ता एंड द Jnani sitting under the tree. I think we have must be knowing that story. So that's the story. Yes, biggest thing that makes us quiet is, see, restlessness comes because of vital. And the mind also under its influence, all kinds of thoughts come. There are several techniques, peace, breath, all are temporary techniques. But there is nothing more powerful than surrender to the divine and taking divine name. After some time, wo ras lag jata hai uska. Aur divine ke sparsh se sab shant hone lagta hai. So just take the divine name. Nothing better than making everything quiet. Okay? So we'll.
Delightful.
Yeah. Thank you.